Luke chapter 15, verse 11, the prodigal son, or the parable of the prodigal son. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a share of property that is coming to me. And he divided the property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in a reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son has died, or was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Let's say our scriptural declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
Thank you so much, and thank you, Elias, and everyone else. I also want to just say a very quick thank you so much to Peter Robinson for preaching for us last week. It's always an honor to have Peter preaching for us. He always does such an amazing job sharing the Word of God. So thanks, brother. We appreciate you. And what a blessing it is for me personally to be able to go away and spend some time with the family, and yet at the same time know that you guys are being fed from the Word of God in such a way that you're being blessed and encouraged and challenged. And we have Eric to do that, we have Peter to do that, and we just appreciate that so much. So real quickly, I'm aware of the time. I'm aware that I have used up some of the time speaking about fathers and the complicated relationships that may exist. I want to take some time now to talk about the prodigal son and the parable that we know, but we see the heart of the father and what a father ought to be whenever we look at that. And I just want to share with you, maybe it is complicated, but I promise you it could be worse. You could have Will Ferrell as a father. I don't know if you guys saw this, but there's a picture of him. That's what he dressed up like whenever he was a sponsor for his son's prom, for senior prom. He dressed up like a court jester. So it could be worse. Does that look like that kid is having any fun at all? No, not at all. All right, so real quickly, this is a picture of me. I got my Father's Day gift, I guess, last couple of weeks. This is my whole family. And I'm just here to tell you that I have never made my wife smile like that, ever, in my 35 years of being a dater or whatever, a husband. But it's because she's in proximity to the golden child. You see him there, right in the middle. And so if you don't know, by the way, this is all of our group. It kind of looks like we're all one big group, and then there's a guy standing in the back on the left. He's the one that's getting married, but man, we're not making it easy on him. He's going to be marrying Tatum, but he's not in yet, so he's kind of on the backside, or you're like, get out of here, Mark, you know. Hey, that man is a saint. He did a road trip from Houston, Texas to Michigan with me driving. And the baby in the seat as well. So I thought he did pretty good. It looks like he's going to work out. I'll let you know if anything changes. But yeah, let's keep moving here very quickly. I don't want to take too much time, but we had a blast in Michigan up where Torrey is. That's actually us in the Upper Peninsula, and did some hiking and all that stuff. So let's go to our next slide. And we want to talk about this particular Your Move podcast. And I just encourage you, if you would, you can delete it later, but I encourage you to grab your phone, take a picture of this, because on the 29th of September in 2023, there is a Your Move podcast, the teaching called Parenting in the 21st Century, and I cannot recommend it to you anymore. If you really want to learn some things, some of the things I'm going to be sharing today are from there. But let me tell you, if you want to become a better parent, a better husband, father, whatever, mother, spouse, whatever it might be, this is great for you, and it is a blessing for you. So if you would like to be involved and go a little deeper, you can do that from right here in this podcast. It's 30 minutes. It could change your life. It is phenomenal. All right, let's keep moving. And I said I'm going to be trying to hit that very quickly. But Andy Stanley said, one of the best ways to be a better father to your kids is to be a better follower of Christ. And here's what I mean. The truth of the matter is that if you begin in Genesis and you go all the way to Revelation, there are not a ton of really great father examples in the scriptures, as crazy as that might sound. You might look and see, and part of what I've always loved about scripture is that scripture never pretends that its saints were saints. I mean, they never threw them up on the stained glass and said, these people were perfect. Never happened. Dysfunctional families riddle from Genesis all the way through Revelation. It is just the reality. And I appreciate that because, truth be told, our relationships and our families can sometimes be complicated. Can I get an amen on that? All right, amen. So there are not tons of great examples of fatherhood in the scriptures. But I will say this. If you want to go towards being a better father, there is nothing that you can do that is better than being a better follower of Christ, because, as he says in that podcast, Andy Stanley will bring to your attention that at the very heart of being a Christ follower is the idea of being selfless and sacrificing your own needs and wants and desires for those things that are better and those things that are for other people. And so there is no better way than being a better follower of Christ to be a better father. So let's keep moving here, and I'll share this with you. Here's the big question. And I'm going to tell you something. I know that you guys all come from different backgrounds and you have different things that have been poured into you and said to you and all of those things. But here's what I would share with you in the idea and the vein of being a better follower of Christ. Whenever Christ talked about being the leader of his disciples, what he was talking about was not that they would go around and do everything for him and that he would be the star of the show and all of those things. He did all that he did, but everything that he did was with them in mind and serving them, bringing them along, not letting them get left behind. And so it's so incredibly important, whatever script you've been handed about the father being the master of the house, you know, the king is in his castle and all of these things, here's what I'm going to tell you. That sounds good, and that is something that feeds our ego, but that is not the reality of what Christ would have us to be. The truth is that for all of us, the person who wants to lead the most should be the servant of all, as Jesus said. In his upside-down kingdom, we've got to be very careful that we don't mistake leadership for being serve us. If we're a leader, we put our feet up and you serve us. No, instead, it is service to other people that shows that we are truly leaders. Because that whole thing about feet washing that we talked about comes from John 13. And as there was something that needed to be done and nobody wanted to do it, who was the one who grabbed the basin and who was the one who grabbed the towel? It was Jesus. He said, I'm here to serve you. And I'm here to let you know that a servant is not greater than its master. And so just know that I'm here to serve from top to bottom, whoever you may be. And this is a big question that you and I have to get figured out, nailed down, and decided for ourselves what we think leadership is, and does it line up with what God says true leadership is in the Christian realm. Let's keep moving. And as we do here, we begin to see this story, this parable of Jesus. And it basically just tells us right away, there's a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of my property that's coming to me. And he divided his property between them. And just a handful of days later, he was gone to live in a foreign country with all the money that he had as an inheritance. And this, as a parent, breaks your heart, because you know how long it took you to save up that money, and then you watch them turn around and they go and spend it in just a handful of weeks or months, and you're like, oh no, what are we doing here? This is terrible. I don't have money to replace that I've given, right? And so it just kills us on the inside as human beings. But this father, who is an example of the earth, of the heavenly father here on earth, gives away the riches that he has and then lets him choose what he will do with that. There's a lot to be said about that, and so you might kind of consider, as we keep moving here, we go to this next slide, here's our something to learn. This is one parable among three. Jesus tells three parables back to back to back, all with the theme of something that is lost. The final one of these three is what we know as the parable of the prodigal son, or you could also call it the parable of the lost son. And in this particular parable, we see the character of the Father, who clearly is there to represent the Heavenly Father, and it gives us insight into the type of Father that God Himself is. So we can see some characteristics here in the Father, and let's keep moving as we do. I love this. You guys have seen me share this before, right? Y'all have seen me? The little baby that's holding on. The timing is perfect, right? The picture, the snap is just perfect. Of course, the baby's not meant to lift that much weight. He's just holding the bar down. But it looks like the baby is overwhelmed with a weight that he just can't handle, right? And so I love this picture because it reminds us that whenever we are dealing with our kids, we are dealing with kids who are often dealing with a weight that they cannot deal with, cannot handle on their own. And how crazy would it be for us to say to that child, lift that weight? No way, never happening. So for us, we have to be very careful that when we release our kids, when we give responsibility to our kids, when we send our kids out there, we're setting them up for success, not for failure. Because the truth is that we need to let our kids fail. There's no doubt about that. But it never needs to be because we intended for them to fail. How many of you know that the world will knock them down already? I mean, we already know that. The world is going to be hard enough on them. So we need to set them up for success, but then we need to let them fly on their own. Because truth be told, if we worry too much about them and protect them too much, eventually they will be on their own and they will be out there and they will be dealing with a weight that they can't lift because they just never have learned. Let's keep moving. And I love this passage, or pardon me, this quote. This is another podcast, and you can listen to it if you choose to. But this is so powerful, and I hope you'll hear it. Many of you have heard me repeat it, but I share it again. If your eyes ever see or your ears ever hear the sin, weakness, and failure of your children, it's never an accident. It's never a hassle. It's always grace. God has put them in a family of faith so you and I can be a tool of His rescue and His transformation. In other words, whenever your children act like children, don't be upset about them acting like children. When your children say things they shouldn't say, it's God's grace revealing that there's more character development that is needed. If you guys understand what I'm saying, can y'all just simply raise your hand and let me know? Y'all know what I'm talking about? So in other words, when you see your kids acting and doing things that you don't want them to be acting like and saying and doing and all that, then that is God revealing that there's more character for you to help build. It is our responsibility for our kids to be the best prepared they possibly can be, and it is always God's grace. Now, here's what I want to share with you. If you will slow down, and instead of flying off the handle, and you will slow down, and you will pour into them in these kinds of moments. Listen, I heard what you said. I don't want you to be talking to your brother or your sister in that way. But I want you to think a little deeper with me here, son or daughter. I want you to think a little deeper with me. Why are you acting like that? What are you doing? When you slow down, when you don't fly off the handle, when they've flown off the handle, then that multiplies your influence in them. It helps them to see that you respect them well enough to not just simply respond in emotion, but instead allow them to be spoken to as an adult. And this is so incredibly important. Your children are going to act the way that you and I teach them how to act, and the way that you and I show them how to act. I can't change that. I wish it were different. I wish I could tell you, if you knew all the right things to say, that's how they'll turn out. But the truth and the reality is that your kids and my kids are going to act like I act, not the way that I say they ought to act. Can I get an amen on that, right? You know, because most of the time, they are catching things. Values and actions are caught, not taught. So we got to be very careful that we're teaching them, but also modeling for them the right things. As we keep moving here very, very quickly, if you want influence with your children later, and trust me, you will, you must maintain respect with them now. I'm going to tell you, this hits hard for me because my kids are all grown. You saw them in the picture. All of my kids, my youngest is, oh my goodness, I never get this right, but 21 years old, 22 years old. Which one, baby? 22, okay, all right. Hey, I told y'all I'm a bad, all right, I need y'all's prayers. All right, as we keep going here and as we keep moving, then this passage of scripture comes into this scene. And I love this passage of scripture so much. Can you guys read that first line with me on the count of three? Ready? One, two, three. But when he came to himself, he said, okay, so just stop right there. There is something powerful to be said about the Father here, because at the very lowest moment of his life, the prodigal son doesn't think, how can I get out of this? Who can I call? Who can I reach out to? Who will save me? He doesn't have to think about it very long before the person's face that crosses his mind is who? It's his Father. I don't know if you've thought about this, but what I would be rehearsing to your children as much as you possibly can is, no matter what you've done, no matter what situation you find yourself in, no matter what is happening, you can always call me to come and be a help to you in whatever the situation is. And you keep saying it, and you keep saying it, because for me personally, this speaks so powerfully to who the Father is and who I want to be as a dad. I have told my daughters before, if anything breaks, anything goes wrong, if you're having your worst day, I want you to see my face. Not because it's my fault, but because I want to be there to make it better. I want to be there to be in the rescue team. You see what I'm saying? And so as we see the Heavenly Father displayed in this parable, when he came to himself, he said, you know what? What am I doing, man? What is going on in my life? There are people that are servants in my dad's house who have it better than I do. And I'm supposed to be his son, but I've blown that. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back and see if he might possibly take me back. Not as a son, but as a hired servant who works there in the house, because they've got it better than I do. Now, don't you know that there was an inkling in his mind? The truth is that my Father will take me back if I return to my dad. Here's what I would share with you. Begin to rehearse over and over. Nothing is ever going to change the fact that I love you and that you are my daughter, that you are my son, and nothing will ever take that away. We might disagree. We might fight. You might not ever want to talk to me ever again in that moment, but here's what I know. You can always call on me. That's the kind of father I want to be. That's the kind of heavenly father that he is. So let's keep moving, and my goodness, my time is gone. But here's a big idea. To be a great father, we must grow to be more like the Son of God. We must be more as Jesus was in order to be that great father. Now, very quickly, I tell you what, if you don't mind, Alicia, let's go to slide number 27 real quick, if you don't mind. There are three things that I'm going to just point them out. That good father that we see in this parable values his child over his possessions. He values his child over his possessions. He doesn't say, come in, we got to talk about where all that money that I gave you went. He says, you're my child, come back into your house. He values his relationship with his child over his reputation. There would be people who would say, I can't believe that dad accepted him back. He's a terrible son. How would you even stoop down to that level? He's disrespected and shamed this family. And all of these things that get spoken about. But the good father says, as I'm watching from afar, as you come, I'm rushing to meet you. And I'm saying, this my son that was dead is now alive. He has been lost and now is found. And then he forgives his rebellious sons from his heart, both of them. If you continue to read the end of the story, here's what we see. We see that the other son that never left is actually a rebellious son in his heart, not with his feet, but with his heart. And he walks away from the heart of the father. And by the way, you don't have to leave the house of the father to leave the heart of the father, as we talked about in the parable study that we shared together. You don't have to leave the house of the father to leave the heart of the father. That's exactly what happens with the older son. But instead of the father giving him a lecture, he says, son, everything I have belongs to you. And I have always loved you, and I will continue to love you all of my days. That's the paraphrase. He has not lost sight of that son, even though the son has lost sight of who the father is and who he wants to be. So real quickly, I'm going to do the I apply by, and then I want to show a picture real quick, if you don't mind. So let's jump down to slide 31, if you don't mind. Alicia, thank you. Here's your I apply by. You commit to the right values, service over serve us, people over possessions, and relation over relationships. Relationships over reputation. And then you start now with small changes. In other words, if you see it, say it. If you see your child doing something good, being the person that you want them to be and grow into, you see it, you say it. And then again, as I shared with you earlier, if you will be slow and patient with your child, even in the difficult times, it multiplies your influence with them, and they are ready to hear from you. And then when they realize what a punk kid they were when they were younger, and they always do, right? Just like you do. Y'all remember, you know, you were not a great kid. I was not a great kid. I'm embarrassed of the things that I did. You're embarrassed. Like when all of that stuff falls away, you look at your parents and you're like, man, you didn't have to be that patient with me. Thank you for being that patient with me. You have multiplied your influence with them for later. And you have shown them that you care about them more than you care about self. And very quickly, encourage every single move forward in your kids or in your husband. If your husband is trying his very best to be a better father, I encourage you, ladies, encourage them every single small step forward. Praise them. Don't tell them what they haven't yet gotten to. Encourage them for every single small step that they make. Now, I want to share a picture that is probably one of my favorite pictures in my life. If you don't know who this kid is, the kid on the right is Randy Puckett. That's me when I was a kid. I told y'all I had blonde hair. Now all I got is dark hair and the ditziness of it all. That's all I got left, all right? But that's my dad on the left and me on the right. For those of you who don't know, my dad is a pastor. Most preachers' kids don't have much time for the church because their fathers hadn't made time for them. I remember being on the porch of my granddad's house in Sophia, West Virginia, and talking to my dad about leaving one church and moving to a different church. We had gone there, and they had gone to the place where they offered him the job. And we went there, we took a look around at the place. It's down in Alabama, believe it or not, Dothan, Alabama. And I was going through a lot of changes in my life at that moment. I was between my 10th and 11th grade year of high school. And I was having a hard time finding my footing and being the man that I knew I should be versus the man that I had become somewhere along the way. Young man, clearly. And so anyway, I remember talking to my dad, and I told my dad, I said, they've offered you the job? He said, yeah. I said, are we going to go? He said, I don't think so. And I told him, I said, Dad, I want to go. I want to go. I want to get a fresh start. I want to go. And he said, I can't. And I said, why? And he said, because your sister is marrying the guy. I'm almost positive it's going to happen. She's going to end up marrying the guy that she's dating right now. And he was a prophet because she did. And he said, I could never forgive myself if I put what I wanted and what the church was calling me to do in front of what I knew was right for any of my kids. Now, I'm here to tell you that when I heard that, I realized that my dad would have done the exact same thing for me as he did for my sister. He cared most about us, not about his reputation, not about his career. He cared most about us. He didn't put us at the center of the family, but he valued us as part of his family and wanted to honor us and serve us. I have no doubt whatsoever that the reason that I'm here today preaching and teaching as he used to preach and teach is because I've figured out that the most important thing to my dad was serving his God, serving his family, and then serving his church, not the other way around. You see, when you realize how important you are to your father, it gives you strength, it gives you foundation, it allows you to spread your own wings and fly on your own, because you already know that that's how much he loves you and how much he accepts you and how much he wants to be serving you. So as I share this and as we close, here's what I'm sharing with you. That kind of love can be poured out consistently and constantly. And if and when that is true, it makes an eternal difference in everybody that you're pouring into. Don't miss the opportunity to mirror the God who has loved you and has claimed you as his own, but instead be that example of who he is and who he wants us to be. Heavenly Father, as we end our time together, we are praying, Lord, that your blessings would be on all who are here. Lord, I have no doubt that there are difficult relationships that need to be brought back. There are relationships that need to be healed that cannot be healed without your touch. Lord, I have no doubt that there are people who need to hear your voice speaking to them about how much you love them, how accepted they are, and how much they are valued. May they hear today from you, the Father, that you are. And may we, Lord, serve you because of all that you've done and the way that you have identified us. In Jesus' name we pray.